The jukebox, along with the saddle shoe and the Cadillac fin, is an icon of 1950s America. But commentator George O'Brien remembers his first brush with the jukebox in a different context, as a kid in Ireland.
When electricity came to Lismore, the small town in Ireland where I grew up, it must have been a miracle. In fact, Granny Brannigan, who lived next door, firmly believed that when the switch was flipped, electricity swam around the room like so many moths, all homing in on incandescent immolation. And when, not long afterwards, wide-ranging radios arrived, they must have seemed heaven-sent, a world of voices with the sole notion, it seemed, of lifting us up out of our little living rooms and narrow streets. These hidden powers were so capable of galvanizing the daily round that, of course, my generation wanted our very own expression of them. But we didn't know how badly we wanted it until the jukebox came to town. And what a magnificent instrument it was, to be sure. It had a reassuringly homemade look, like a streamlined version of the untouchable china cabinets that were our parents' pride and joy. The top stuck out at an ultra-modern angle, instead of fitting flush onto the underneath part. Being lower on its back legs than on its front, it had an odd kind of thrust-out aspect, as though offering itself to us. And that was fitting, too, because it was the most responsive object of desire that we'd ever come across. Best of all, the top part was all plain glass, so when we put the sixpence in, we could see all the workings. The turntable drove itself, somewhat blind and manic, along a track, making a clacking sound that to us was the highly amplified, electrified ticking of a burning fuse. But when it reached its destination, it got a grip of itself. Out came its arm gently and settled the selection on its lap, just as we planned to do if we were ever on a date. Not that we were particularly bothered about dating. The music was excitement enough. "Whoo!" hollered Freddie Cannon, like an Irishman, on Tallahassee Lassie. Seraphim and Cherubim oohed and aahed on Frankie Avalon's Venus. Obscure items from the Bill Haley songbook, anyone remember Burn That Candle, brought out the sun on many a rainy summer afternoon. The jukebox was in the lobby of the local hotel. For quite a while, that was where the opposite to the end of Lonely Street was. We were connected. We were in the groove. We were inoculating ourselves with the sound of the city, sixpence a shot. We swayed and shimmied with the hormone shuffle. Bobby Lewis did tossing and turning. We knew what he meant. And when Eddie Cochran called out, "Come on, everybody," we were all included. Amazing. The jukebox was the call of the world for us. From it came our first sketch of maleness. That 45 wobbling on the turntable was our introduction to the erotic. Yet, with every twitch of our shoulders and every jiggling knee, we were also taking our first steps in leaving. But we didn't really know what that meant, except that it too would be electric, magic. What a wonderful world it would be. Sam Cooke dared to hope. We were with him.
George O'Brien is a professor of English at Georgetown University.